Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hi, this is Dr. Andy Barlow with the Chiropractic Physician Center of Tupelo and author of the number one best-selling book, The Codebreaker. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Then call my office at 662-844-1414 and order my new book, The Codebreaker.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
But I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
But I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. We hope you've downloaded that. You can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can also watch us. We are on your computer or your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. And today we get to hear about one of the largest events that comes to Central Mississippi that utilizes the Natchez Trace. That is the Natchez Trace Century Ride. Joining us is Ben McDonald. He's with Ridgelands Recreation and Parks and has to coordinate all of this. Well, it's you and a bunch of other people. It's not just you, right, Ben?
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Rebecca. It's a team effort. And we're in our 25th year of this ride. So it's not like I just joined the city and all of a sudden this thing exploded. So it's been going on for a
no
while.
No pressure then. So don't
no
screw
pressure.
It up.
I feel it. Yeah. But we've got a great team with the Recreation and Parks Department, our Public Works Department, Community Development. Everybody pitches in, and with close to 1,000 riders, it takes all of that, plus a lot of volunteers from around the area. And I've been able to ride in it as a participant, and now I'm on the other end, sort of making sure things happen. So it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward
to it. Moving from a rider to a coordinator, what were you most surprised to learn about behind the scenes of putting it on?
A lot of permits. There's a lot of cost involved that, as a rider, you just take for granted. You don't see everything that goes into putting it on, from the back end versus the front end. Mm-hmm. So it's, I wouldn't say overwhelming, but it's been a learning experience. But it's
did
been
they just
great.
Throw you a big binder? It said, well, Century Ride, and said good luck.
Sort of, but Wendy Bourdain had been with the city for, well, I guess 25 years. She retired and she left a lot of good notes. So it wasn't just like go in your office and do it. It's a team effort, and I've had some good cheat sheet, cliff notes.
And the good thing, 2.5 decades later, the city, all of the Natchez Trace, everybody's kind of aware of what's coming up. It's not like you're trying to create this from scratch, but obviously it's popular. Something like this to last for 2.5 decades and draw that kind of crowd, people look forward to it. And it's a little bit different because you think about even just a marathon that's only 26 miles and it's over in a little while. We're talking about, at the longest, taking up 100 miles.
Right, 100 miles is the longest distance, and if you just want to come out a little bit, you can do the 8-miler, 25, 50, or 62. But you talk about support. Our mayor has been riding for decades. He may have ridden everyone, but it's...
Who's your mayor?
Gene McGee. So it's really cool when you have a mayor that rides, and he doesn't just get on his bike and kind of pedal around for photo shoots. I mean, he's doing the real deal. So, also having the support of all the agencies around the reservoir, PRV, the National Park Service, Rankin County SO, Madison County SO, Reservoir Patrol, City of Ridgeland. There's a lot involved. Like I said, a lot of permits, but I'm glad there are a lot of people involved so that, we have that help, and one little mess up on my end won't screw it all up.
What? You are just really trying to lay the groundwork of, like, something screws up, it's not my fault.
That's right. You heard it here first.
So what makes the City of Ridgeland, like, so, geared specifically for this, is the perfect place to sort of host something like a 100-mile bike ride?
It is, with the reservoir, obviously, and the Natchez Trace. We're lucky to have that coming through here. But Ridgeland is also a bicycle-friendly community, and having the Natchez Trace Century Ride here helps with that status, and it kind of plays off of each other. So we have a lot of people that come from, well, all the surrounding states and even further, up into like New York and Minnesota, California, Texas, whatever it might be. So as you were saying, it's been around for a while. Word's gotten out. It has a reputation. And, we also have a lot of help from our tourism office, mm-hmm. Explore Ridgeland. They help people who haven't been here before, maybe doing their first one. You know, hey, where should I stay? And of course, you can look at maps, but it helps to have somebody that's here that knows the logistics in the area and has been here and can help people. So, again, team effort. And I brought a medal. I know we haven't talked about this.
No, yeah.
People probably can't see.
Sure, but they can. Hold it right up there.
So this is our
other way. Face me. There you go. There. Okay. Yep.
So being that it's on May the 4th.
That's cool.
We're playing off of the Star Wars theme, although we kind of have to watch copyright laws and that sort of thing. So
I'm going to guess he's
probably. They can be litigious, can't they?
Right, yeah. So,
although I did learn that Luke Skywalker goes into public domain in like 40 or 50 more years, something like that. And so that's a whole other thing I learned over the weekend.
So the next generation.
So the next generation, when you pass down your binder, Ben, you tell them to check to see if it's in public domain and they can do whatever they want to.
That's right.
No, but I think that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So incorporating that, you know, Star Wars theme and, you know, Explore Ridgeland's on there, the Bike Crossing, a local business, one of our big sponsors. So, you know, when you get to events like this, you need help from sponsors and volunteers and, of course, people that get paid and don't get paid and all that. So it's a big effort. But
do you have, like, in the out of the distances, that's 8 miles, 25 miles, 50 miles, why 62? I have to ask, why not 60?
So we call that the metric century. So okay. It's 100k. Obviously, if you say I did 100 on a bike,
they're gonna say which one,
right? Miles or k? But you know, you could just say I did 100 and
then you're not lying.
I mean, 62 on a bike is still impressive, right? So whether you want to do 100 miles, 100K, or if you just want to do 8 miles.
Is there an opportunity to hop, like, to change your mind, take backseats if you get on the 100-mile loop, or is it, like,
oh yeah,
50 miles back and then, like, 50 miles?
No, the 50-miler, I believe, is an out and back. So, you know, if
there's
you
get, no take backseats.
If you get 25, you know, you got to get 25.
Back.
But with the 62 and 100, it kind of winds around through Rankin, Madison counties, and the Trace. So there are places where, you know, if you're like, yeah, it's not my day, you can bump down. And you can even do that pre-ride if you're like.
Is it the same route every year, or do you all come to make a different route? And I mean, because I would assume a lot of energy goes into the 100-mile route.
We try to keep it the same, but, you know, things happen. When you go out into the county, either county, whatever it could be, there could be issues with roads, and we try to avoid those problem sections. We try to keep it the same for continuity, so people are familiar with the route year after year, but we do consult with the law enforcement agencies and make sure that that route is still good to go, because at the last minute we could change something if, you know, obviously we've had a lot of trees down. If something happened mm-hmm. the night before the ride, you know, hopefully we could get somebody out there to cut it. But anyway, we try to keep it the same. It has not been, the route we use this year hasn't been the route every year. It was the same last year and I think before, but it's evolved a little bit, and you see what works and how far out you want to go and what riders like, and you try to, you know, accommodate the riders as well as listen to law enforcement agencies and take their advice as well.
So how do we sign up?
You can go to bikesignup.com or runsignup.com. Obviously, it's a bike ride. It's not a race. We will have an event management company on hand. It's not timed, but we call it the Natchez Trace Century Ride. You can go to bikesignup.com, search Natchez Trace Century Ride, or you can go to ridgelandms.org. Click events, and you can find the link to sign up there.
People who are traveling multiple states are coming from far and wide for this. Are they coming for the sheer, just like having that fitness vacation that so many people sort of tie into these days where they go and vacation and also like run races or ride races? Or is this like a tune-up for them for something else?
It can be both. I mean, it depends on the distance. If, you know, and some people do 100 milers, I mean, maybe every month. You know, some of us have to train for several months, and that's like our peak. But yeah, like you say, a racecation, you know, it's a ride, but it's, you know, kind of a vacation event. So we have couples that come together and they both ride, but there is a lot
tandem?
Going on that weekend.
Like the little tandem bikes?
Well, you could do that, but you could also have
that's
your own bike.
That's a great way to taste the marriage.
Now, what are you doing with your hands? No, I mean, there is a hand cycle
is
category.
There?
Yeah,
okay,
so
where you can sit and do
like
it.
Adaptive people that, you know, can't use their legs. They can pedal with their hands. So I don't know if we're having them, but that'd be cool.
What about the ones where you sit down and you look relaxed and you're using your legs?
Yeah, recumbent.
Recumbent bikes. Mm-hmm. So if it has wheels and doesn't have a motor?
Well, Basically. Now, there is a class of e-bikes.
Oh, that's for Will.
So, I think class one is the one that will only max out at like 20 miles an hour.
Do you have to put in any effort into those bikes?
Yeah, you do. It's essentially assisting your effort. So, if you just sit there, it's not doing anything. If you pedal really hard, it's going to pedal really hard with you. It's a pretty cool concept because let's think about it, right? When you were talking about Luke Skywalker becomes public domain, around that time, I'm not going to be riding a bike very well. So maybe an e-bike could be, you know, the option to get me around the neighborhood or whatever it might be. So
it's that in between like an electric, I guess, scooter or something that's fully motorized and just walking or a regular bike. You still have to put in. I didn't realize you had to still put in like real effort. I thought it was more like you turn, like it's for looks.
Right. We call it pedal assist. So it's going to match your effort. But yeah, we'll have a lot of different riders, ages, bikes, demographic,
whatever it may be. So. All right. We all stick with us. We got more with Ben McDonald with Ridgelands Recreation and Parks coming up next.
From the SeabrookPaint.com Weather Center, I'm Bob Sullender. For all your paint and coating needs, go to SeabrookPaint.com. Today, mostly sunny, high near 84. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low around 63. Your Tuesday, mostly cloudy, high near 85. Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy, low around 67. And for your Wednesday, mostly cloudy conditions, high near 85.
This weather forecast has been brought to you by our friends at RJ's Outboard Sales and Service at 1208 Old Fannin Road. RJ's Outboard Sales and Service, your Yamaha outboard dealer in Brandon.
Optical 2000, Dr. Bobby C. Pankey and Associates in Clinton and Richland offer the highest quality eye care for your entire family. Blending modern technology with personalized service, both locations provide comprehensive eye care, including eye health examinations, treatment for eye disease, and eye care exams, essential for vision wellness. Most major insurance accepted. Click to call a clinic near you at optical-2000.com. Optical 2000, Dr. Bobby C. Pankey and Associates in Clinton and Richland.
TrustCare is a proud sponsor of Ole Miss Athletics. When you choose TrustCare for your urgent and primary care, you win. TrustCare clinics are staffed by friendly, experienced providers and open late. Walk in today or schedule your appointment at TrustCareHealth.com. TrustCare. Feel better, faster.
Those that are truly serious about their health have counted on Specialty Pharmacy for all their vitamin and herbal supplement needs for over 25 years. They sell only the purest grade of supplements with no binders, fillers, or colorants. Behind Primo's Cafe off Lakeland Drive in Flowood. Specialty Pharmacy. Feel your best.
For all your glass needs, call Venable Glass Services. Glass Networks, they're there to try and steer you to use their own glass shop. Well, you can tell your insurance you want to use Venable Glass, and there'll be no additional cost to them to get the highest quality glass. Venable Glass is locally owned and operated, and they do windshield replacement and rock repair right there in their shops. Or they'll even come to you in the Tri-County area for free. That's right, free mobile service. At Venable Glass, they also do frameless and frame shower doors, mirrors cut to size and installed, picture frame glass, tables, desktops, insulated glass, plexiglass, commercial storefronts, and heavy equipment glass. Venable Glass. They'll come out and give you a free estimate. They want to work hard for your business. Venable Glass. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and on Saturday, 8 to noon. Hey, there's two locations too in Ridgeland at 660 Highway 51 North and Brandon at 209 Woodgate Drive South in Cross Gates. Check them out on the web at VenableGlass.com. Remember, for all your glass needs, call Venable Glass Services, 601-605-4443.
If you don't see the rock, you better keep on rolling.
Can't find time to make an appointment for an oil change? Rapid Oil Change offers no appointment needed services. Drive in and save big. We offer spacious waiting areas and complete most routine maintenance in 15 minutes or less. Stop by today and see why we've been Mississippi's fast service leader for over 37 years.
Rapid Oil Change, where you should be going. If you don't see the rock, you better keep on rolling.
This is Ben Shapiro reminding you to listen to The Ben Shapiro Show weekday nights starting at 9 p.m. here on 97.3 Super Talk Jackson.
making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm or also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you have downloaded that. We also hope you know that you can always find us on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget about watching us when you're on your computer or your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. We are continuing our conversation with Ben McDonald. He is with Ridgelands Recreation and Parks. They got their big Natchez Trace Century Ride coming up May 4th. But Ben, I want to talk a little bit about the growing popularity of the different, like, outside sports here in Mississippi. I think everybody knows a 5K that, like, man, when running and 5Ks and then 10Ks and then marathons kind of like blew up, then it felt like triathlons had its moment, and then people just went to bike riding's having its moment, and now you feel like people are getting off trail, from off trail running to even off trail biking. What do you call that? What's that called? Gravel something.
Yeah, mountain biking.
So do you see that? Do y'all see that in terms of like the more people are interested in those type of events here in our state?
I think so, and I think part of that is just to be outside. And you know, I'm biased from what I do, and because I'll see people doing the things that I'm doing. But you know, around the Natchez Trace, we have the multi-use trail. That's, I mean, you can go end to end and back, you know, 20 miles, ride a bike, or you know, and you can ride with your family and that sort of thing. And of course, we have mountain bike trails in Ridgeland. So that, I see that.
Where are those?
They are west of town, about say a couple of miles west of Renaissance.
Does that just mean that it's off pavement?
Right. So if you say mountain bike trails, typically,
because my first thought was, where's the mountain in Mississippi? But that's the type of bike, not necessarily where you're
could
going.
Say Mount Woodall.
Well, I guess true. Yeah.
But right. That's a good point, because when mountain biking started, it was in the mountains of California. But it's a pretty good climb. You'd be surprised. There's a nice overlook, and if you're not in shape for it, it's hard to make it to the top. I'm talking about the original mountain bike trails, this climb out there. But so that's our Tri-County Mountain Bike Association local mountain bike club, and I'm a part of that as well. So, you know, they maintain those trails as well as other trails around the area, and Brandon, Clinton, even the Noxubee trails out, you know, in Louisville. So, but yeah, we were talking about trail running is growing. But yeah, 5Ks are still a big thing. I mean, I think didn't we just have the lily pad mm-hmm. race Saturday night? And mm-hmm. that's always a big one here in Ridgeland. And I think the good thing about a 5K is, you know, it's kind of like a gateway drug. People can say, well, I can probably do a 5K. And then if they like it, you know, keep doing them, or bump up, or hey, you know, maybe just do your own thing. And that's okay. You don't have to race, right? We're talking about exercising for fun. You can just do your own thing. But I think, yeah, in Mississippi, we have great areas to just be outside exercising, getting fresh air, you know, putting the phones down, kind of decompressing.
When you're talking about like city development, and you're thinking about even economic development, you know, you talk about your mayor McGee and what a proponent he is for healthy lifestyle. I think even your tags there in Ridgeland have it sore. If you build it like into your infrastructure, y'all have proven that they will come, like in terms, and that your community will be more active from the trails. And I know not every community in Mississippi has the opportunity to put in the extensive trail system that's there, like for the Natchez Trace and all. But I feel like even out in Brandon, when they built the amphitheater, then they built out back out of it, they built the trails and things and seen tremendous use out of it. And so when you build these things into your community, or you hear about your associations within your communities building these things out, they work. They bring people in.
They bring people in, get people out. And, you know, I might be speaking above my head, out of my area of expertise, but y'all probably know here at Super Talk, a lot of the link that I read was on Super Talk, the Outdoor Stewardship Trust Fund, I may have said that wrong, is helping communities to get mm-hmm. money for trails, right? They're going to add an extender to the Brandon Quarry trails. They're going to add an extender over at the reservoir. They're growing the NICA High School and Junior High Mountain Bike League. So in Mississippi, we have several mountain bike leagues that help kids junior high school age learn to ride, learn to compete.
That sounds terrifying. I'm sure it's a lot of fun, but something about going down a mountain.
It's so much
fun.
With
nothing but a helmet and on a little piece of metal.
We haven't talked about our BMX track in Ridgeland, which I got to ride on recently. It's kind of like a fantasy camp. You know, you have these adults that go play in the major league fantasy camp thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a bike that I took on the Mag Ridge BMX trails, and that's a lot of fun. So
when I think BMX, Ben, I'm thinking more of like Tony Hawk inside and doing the little ramps and things. Is this an actual like gravel or dirt trail, or is it an indoor facility?
You're probably thinking more like freestyle.
Yes.
So we're close, but yeah, it's
but not
not exactly
not on target.
So it's a combination of dirt and pavement. At the track in Ridgeland, they have paved berms, which are the big banked turns, and then the dirt is the straightaways. And you have, little bitty kids, adults. It's a cool family sport as well. So
I don't see me and my husband joining in on that with my kids, but I would totally support my kids if they wanted to get that a try.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's a good family sport. Kind of like, 5Ks, right? Everybody can do a 5K.
Skateboarding is actually growing in Mississippi. I know on the Mississippi Gulf Coast and I want to say Tupelo or area maybe, there's already sort of efforts for communities to sort of make designated spots for that to also give those who are interested in it somewhere specifically to go than necessarily just choosing public places to do it. And I think that's kind of cool as well.
Yeah, and I don't know much about that specifically. Yeah. However, some of the skate parks can double as bike parks, and you're seeing with these grants that are being sent out that bike parks can be built with access to skateboarders and maybe even scooters, different things. Again, all about being outdoors, whatever that thing is for you. If it's walking, in the woods, hiking on the paved trail, riding a bike, get out there and do it.
Well, what you're reminding us too, Ben, is that when we think of recreation and parks, which if I'm correct, most of your municipalities have that, which you're a special events coordinator for Ridgelands, how much y'all are doing behind the scenes on a daily basis that we don't necessarily see or think about. We just get to enjoy the efforts of you guys' hard work.
Right. I don't know how many, but I don't think there are a lot of cities that have a special events coordinator. So I'm lucky that Ridgeland does, mm-hmm. because I get to do it. But then we get to put on cool events like the Balloon Glow at North Park, a Trunk or Treat event, of course, the Century Ride. We have Christmas events with the parade and Easter egg hunt and that sort of thing. So that's a lot of fun. I get to learn about things that I might not have known about before. But obviously, the bike ride is.
Do you ever get a day off, Ben, to like do some of these events now that you are having to put on all the things that you used to come out for?
Oh yeah, for sure.
You shoot yourself in your foot.
No. I get to participate in different events, whether it's here in Jackson or around the area, that sort of thing. So, yeah, still involved, and I live close to the reservoir as well. So we got out on the reservoir on a paddleboard yesterday, so that's a lot of fun.
And the paddleboard yoga is like a thing too that's like picking up.
I don't know if my balance is that good.
You go down a mountain bike at full speed, like whatever, you won't get on, try to stand on one leg. That makes absolutely no sense. When you think about though, like growing different, like economic growth or jobs, I know of a lady whose full-time job in Natchez, or she makes primarily most of her money during this season. She takes bikers from either Natchez to Nashville and drops them off and they ride back, and then she'll pick up other riders in Nashville and then bring them back to Natchez and then they ride home. And so that is like one of her full-time gigs during the spring and early fall, and that's all she's doing is driving them up, dropping them down, driving them back, dropping them down, so they can make, was it 400 miles or something stupid?
Yeah,
like that.
Four 444. It makes sense because so many people want to ride either Natchez to Nashville or reverse. I talked to a guy today. He called and was looking for a place to camp. He was doing the whole thing. And he said, I'm actually going to be coming through there on May the 4th. I said, well, just sign up for the Century Ride, do 25 miles with us and then keep on going down to Natchez.
How long, if you are a above average, mediocre biker, is 100 miles?
How long?
I know how long
it's 100 miles.
How long does it take you?
For the record, that was Will.
4,000.
That was Will.
That's not the first time he's called me out. But how long will it take you?
Oh, to do it, yes. So I'd say I'll start with the fastest. I'll say they might can do it in 4 hours. 6 might be average, 6 hours.
Gotcha.
I'm kind of guessing. Six and a half.
So if they do the 440, if they're going from Natchez to Nashville, are they stopping and camping somewhere, or is that like a is that a 2-day ride?
It depends on who you are. So
for the average person.
Oh yeah, that'd be at least a week, I'd say. If not 10 days.
Making me feel better.
Yeah, I mean you'll see a lot of cyclists, I say a lot, some cyclists on the trace, and they're just loaded down with, you know, bags on their bike, and that's,
well, that makes it harder.
Clothes, food, yeah. Drink, hopefully a tent, sleeping bag. And there are some bicycle only campsites on the trace.
Remind us to share the road.
Share the road. Change lanes to pass, please.
And if we want to sign up for the Natchez Trace Century Ride or anything you guys do in, over at Ridgeland's Recreation and Parks, how do we do that?
You can go to ridgelandms.org, click on events, and you can find Natchez Trace Century Ride details there. And we hope to see you May the 4th.
All righty. You guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Becca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
That's a good thing. Streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app, always on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, and also on Supertalk TV, where you can find us on your computer or your mobile device. You can find the Gallo Show at the Jackson Convention Complex this coming up Thursday for Mississippi Economic Council's 75th annual meeting. They've been meeting a time or two, I would think. To register or to be a sponsor, go to mec.ms. That's mec.ms. And Richard from Rankin County, thanks for your photo. Literally listening to y'all on the trace while riding the trace, and saw somebody out there enjoying this beautiful day on a bike. It is April 15th, so it is National Titanic Remembrance Day. So today is the day. If you were around in 1912, you probably heard all the news that came out about the Titanic sinking into the North Atlantic's icy waters. For some, there's like, you're really into the Titanic. For others, you could care less. It's like, you know, by now the ship sunk. But for most that have like at least middle schoolers, they go through a whole Titanic kind of learning thing around fifth, maybe sixth grade, and have to do little projects on it. So my daughter got super into the Titanic, and I think I've shared this story before. So I finally thought, okay, I can fast forward through, you know, the scene in Titanic. There's like two scenes, you know, in the movie that maybe 11-year-old shouldn't necessarily be watching. But the rest of it, you know, is fairly, you know, interesting if you are interested in the story of the Titanic. I don't know how like literal like it is, other than the ship sinks, obviously at the end.
I think a good bit of it actually is correct.
Pretty
they
correct.
Did a lot of research, yeah.
To that. And so we're watching it, and she's enjoying it, made it through all the scenes that needed to be made, and then total meltdown when the ship actually starts to sink. And
oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, did you make an A on that test or not?
Because You realize what happened.
However, James Cameron did a really wonderful job of getting emotion out of you of what they may have went through and all that. So I sort of get that. So I thought, and I'd never done it, so I did a Google search today when I heard that it was the anniversary of the Titanic, to see if we had any Mississippi connections to the Titanic. And I came across potentially one Mississippian that may have been on the Titanic. And so there was an article that appeared April 23rd, 1912, in the Biloxi Daily Herald that talked about a Mississippian named at that time A.N., and I'm not going to be able to pronounce his last name. Too bad Rhino's not here, but L.A. Haud Laud. So he was an immigrant, and he may have been aboard the Titanic. He was a Biloxi resident, but he was originally from Syria, and he had been visiting his childhood home and had intended to leave Europe to return to Mississippi around the same time the Titanic sailed. And so on April 27th of the Jackson Daily News, they kind of cleared up the confusion sort of with his name and all. So there was a daughter living in Philadelphia. There's a son. Anyway, they're not 100% sure he was on the boat. They're not 100% sure he wasn't on the boat, but he was never found again. And there was somebody with the same last name, but they messed up the initials. Can you imagine if you've seen any of the ledgering and things like back in that day, that it wasn't always great. But his family never heard from him again, and he obviously wasn't on the ones who got rescued. So it's still kind of a mystery, but records could link one potential Mississippian back to being on the Titanic on April 15th.
The whole story is so crazy, and some of the stories about people who didn't make it onto the boat. I recently listened to a podcast series about the Titanic, and it tells the story of these three brothers who were workers on the ship, and they didn't make it to the ship in time to get on the boat, and they got replaced by some other people. And those three brothers lived because they were like 5 minutes late.
That's crazy. Yeah. Have you ever been, if you go to Gatlinburg, they've got the Titanic Museum there. Of course, we went through that when we had visited about around the same time. And I think the coolest part, or two of the coolest things in that, is they have this built like the deck or whatever. Like when it starts to sink, you can try to walk up it. If you notice in the movie when it starts to like breaks and, you know, whatever. And then you can put your hand in water when they have it the same temperature as what the water would have been had you sort of fallen, had you gone in and sort of that. And then what the sort of cabins would have looked like and all the difference. And, you know, it's just one of those like, it could
now,
have been
if
prevented.
Rose would have just moved over a little bit,
we would have.
Leo would have lived.
And then you never know what would have happened sort of after that. That is one of the most debated things in Hollywood.
There was room. It's a big door. I saw it.
Totally room for him from that poor James Cameron. And I think the best worst movie lines ever is they use the words, "I'll never let go," and then she lets go and he sinks. And so, I mean, it's like, I will always remember you. I will always love you. You know, like,
and the big diamond, does she create a fund for his in his memory to send kids to college or something?
No, she
keeps it and throws it overboard.
And throws it overboard. Dwayne and Brandon said, well, hold on. Not knowing today was Titanic Day, actually watched the movie last night. It is one of those, it's not, I sometimes will stop and get into it, but you know it's an investment in time. So, like, it's not one that's going to be a quick movie to watch, even if you catch it on TV. You're vested sort of in that because it's, what, like a 3 hour or something?
Yeah, and like I said, I think most of it is somewhat accurate. There's some things that they got wrong that they did for dramatic purposes, like them locking the third-class passengers up.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, by the way, there were second-class passengers. Nobody ever talks about them. They only talk about the rich people and the poor people. but, yes, there were third-class passengers, but they were locked in there because of immigration laws, basically. It wasn't the ship that said you can't. It was because of diseases and stuff. They wanted to keep people separated, basically. And the other thing was, it really wasn't the captain's fault. That's the other thing that the movie kind of gets wrong. He followed the normal procedure, and what happened. The other thing that was really mind-boggling is they have so many records of everything that was on there. You know, there were multiple dogs on there. There was a monkey on there. Do you know that?
No.
There were.
Is that in the movie? Now that I think about it?
I don't know if it's in the movie or not.
Dwayne, you watched it last night. Did you see a monkey on the Titanic?
There was one lady who had traveled. The furthest they could find was there was one lady who had traveled from India to England to get on the boat, and then it sank. She died. She didn't make it. So she was the furthest away. She was an English woman, but she had, for some reason she was an Indian, was traveling to America.
It's just so interesting. And it's just crazy because you think, but you know, right on the heels of watching I know this is good things, but the bridge and the whole, you know, the whole thing like that, it was just at that time such like something that large you just don't think is going to just disappear. And then like to know that like in a it can just well, I think it took a little longer than that, but literally just hitting something and then all of a sudden the things that happen sort of after that. And you wonder like how our ships are safer now because of what happened to the Titanic. Because if I am, I don't know if I'm correct, but I don't. We haven't had something exactly like that happen again, right? I know we've had things sink, and we've had like, I may be wrong on that.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot was learned on how to make sure that didn't necessarily happen.
It was a very, apparently it was a very safe, boat, ship. But it got hit. The way that it got hit was so it was like a million and one shot, and it got hit that way, and that's what caused the water. But lifeboats, that was another thing that they didn't have enough of them, obviously. But that was some of the legislation that came out afterwards. You had to have enough lifeboats to cover everybody on the ship.
Dwayne and Brandon said, "I probably watched it 10 times over the years and never saw a monkey." So
no monkey, but there was a monkey on there.
There was a monkey on there. Yeah. Man, James Cameron
missed an opportunity.
Here's a fun fact. That was my very first movie date where I could get picked up.
Really?
Taken to him. Yep. Terrible, terrible choice. Cry, you know, like he's like,
that's a horrible choice.
Everybody dies.
You want to go to a rom-com, not an epic tragedy.
It's just funny the things that you remember.
And it's a long one, too. I mean, it's like
'cause if
4 hours.
Don't like what's sitting next to you, you got a long way to... And then it's weird. Do you ask for a refill? Because, like, who pays for that? You know? Like, it's... Obviously, at some point, that relationship went down with this ship. But it is definitely funny the things that you remember. Someone asked if it was overweight.
No, it was actually, they didn't have enough people on there. It was not sold out. That was one of the things I learned from this podcast that I listened to. It was not sold out because there was so much competition back in the day. You know how much a first-class ticket cost for the highest level?
No.
It was the equivalent of like $200,000 today.
Really?
Yeah.
So you went to the Super Bowl? Like, you got a ticket. If you could go to the Super Bowl, then you could have ridden the Titanic.
Yeah.
Pretty much is what you're telling us. There you go. And your date let go of the door, huh? I let go of that door, Jeff. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
In life and
upbeat, positive, and stories that make you smile. This is Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm, always streaming too from that Supertalk Mississippi app. Hope you know you can find us on that local Supertalk Mississippi radio station and Supertalk TV on your computer or your mobile device. Talking about the Titanic, so I guess it sunk April the 15th, 1912. Some of the fun facts, though, I found, it had a swimming pool on board. I think it was one of the first cruise lining ships that had a swimming pool, which I always thought that's really strange. You build a thing to stay out of water to then turn around and put water into it. It also was carrying mail, so it was considered the RMS Titanic because it stood for Royal Mail Ship. So think of all the letters that never made it where they needed, where it needed to go. As you mentioned, that there was only enough lifeboats for a third of the people on board. And some of its statistics, its length was 852 feet. So if you compare that now to some of the largest ships out there, there are five ships or cruise lines that have succeeded the length of the Titanic. So you've got Caribbean's Voyager Voyager of the Sea is over 1,000 feet. Freedom of the Seas is 1,100 feet. Wonder of the Seas is almost 1,200 feet. And then the Icon of the Seas is right at 1,200 feet long. So people said, I guess it didn't hurt the cruise industry very much after the sinking. You wonder,
people
though.
People still had to get there.
Well, because I guess they didn't really have other options in terms of trains, planes, or automobiles. You wonder, though, if people like pulled back from big ships and if they went back to like more smaller ones that have had better track records over the years, or wonder what that next. It had, the Titanic also had sister ships, which you wonder, like, do you get on it? Like, do
actually,
you?
Actually, one of them sank a few years later. I think it was called the Britannic or something like Titanic. Britannic or something
Olympic
like that.
And Britannic.
That's the one that sank.
So the Olympic launched in 1910, so that was a little, that was before. And then Britannic, she launched February 26th of 1914, and then she sunk by mine November 21st, 1916. So what, like 2.5-ish years after she, I just, you know, something's just running families. And it's just genetic. So I don't know if I would get.
Well, how are you going to get to the other side, though? There's no planes at the time.
There has to be other.
What are you going to do, by land? You can't go from.
I'm just saying, if you told me she's the Titanic sister, I just don't know if I'm trusting it. Like, I would, there are other, like, last names and family trees to sort of get across the ocean with. I just don't know how well I would. I'd be like, well, is she the good sister? Is she the younger sister, the older sister? Like, I don't know. I think from a marketing standpoint, you would just need to pull back any connection to the one that sang. And not so much because of the captain, but like, as someone mentioned, it was like Bad Steel. I would think, well, if you made a janky Titanic, are you going to make a janky Britannic? Like, did you learn? Did you learn your lesson? Because I don't know if you did or not. Have you ever done a cruise?
No, I've been on a ferry, a large ferry in the Aegean Sea over in Europe before, though. It's like a mini cruise ship. And you know, I loved it. I thought it was great. But
picking up steam is steamboats. Like when we had here on Good Things from Natchez to Vicksburg and everywhere in between, you don't necessarily get on in Vicksburg. I'm not really sure about Natchez. You may can, but they are part of the ports and stops. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really big growing industry, is to stay. I think they're shorter trips, or maybe not, but sailing the Mississippi River versus the open seas and stopping alone, just like you would on a cruise to different ports, but you're doing it in terms of smaller towns down the Mississippi. I think that's really cool. I think it'd be a different kind of experience in that way. Cruise ships, though, man, you can get some pretty good deals on them now. I don't know. My husband worked, before we got married, he worked offshore, and I always got the, I stared at the Gulf Coast 6 months out of the year. Why am I going to give money to go stare at the Gulf of Mexico for a vacation? So it has a point. I mean, you know, but I think part of it is you get on and you have like everything you need right there, and then you get to stop at sort of the cool places along the way. I went on for my senior trip, and that was a lot of fun, but I haven't been.
Where did y'all go?
St. Thomas and St. Martin. And we went out of Florida. So it was the only one that wouldn't sell alcohol to minors.
Dang it.
My mom was like, you can
And how
have.
Did you find that out, Rebecca?
And that's the only one my mom paid for it. So
she researched it?
Yes, absolutely. All of our parents did. But you know, the laws are different in St. Thomas and St. Martin. So she prayed to make sure we got back on the boat. But when you're on the boat, you had to be 21. But back then, they would let 18-year-olds just get on a boat by themselves. So, you know, there you go. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next. You got the Boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will actually meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things. Hear good things for you.
Pure Talk Mississippi Media Production.